part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we got special guest, Special Ed.
Say hey, Special Ed.
Hi, how's it going?
What are you drinking over there?
Knob Creek and a little bit of beer.
All right, I'm out of the hospital room, and you guys...
That's what's great about doing the webcast is we took an hour and a half to do that, but to the listener, it's just a click away, John.
Yeah.
Just a click away. What took we did an hour is we... We removed John from the room. It was so goddamn noisy that we came down here to the chapel.
We snuck him down here.
Yeah.
And there's nobody in the chapel.
Wait till they see that fat mannequin laying in the bed. The pillows and stuff. Hopefully they'll think I'm sleeping. So we're in the chapel right now where it's quiet. And nobody's actually come in here since we set up. So that's cool.
That is
It's kind of dark, though.
That's good.
I got my laptop for the tunes.
That's how good. You like your backdraft going there, that little gown you have there.
Yeah. Could you see my ass?
Oh, yeah.
No doubt, man. We could even see your tetanus.
Fucking IV running down the hall with that thing.
Your bladder bag?
Fucker almost tripped and it almost ripped out of my hand. Ouch.
No doubt. Well, let's get things rolling here in part two, John, before anybody does show up.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the chat.
I hear you.
In the chat.
Get this, John. I'm reading this Newsweek online poll. So it's a poll for the internets. A belief in God and an identification with an organized religion are widespread throughout the country. That is the U.S. of A. According to the latest Newsweek poll, 9 in 10 of American adults say they believe in God, and almost as many, 87%, say they identify with a specific religion. Christians far outnumber members of other faith in the country with 82%. So this is stuff we already know about.
Right.
More Christians than anybody in the U.S. of A.
Right.
5% said they follow non-Christian faiths such as Judaism or Islam. 48% of the public rejects the scientific theory of evolution.
Wow.
So one in two, every other person you meet rejects evolution.
Wow.
That makes me want to goddamn vomit, John.
God damn it.
Where do you stand on evolution there, Special Ed?
I believe in it.
All right.
Ross, where'd you come from?
You're an evolutionary kind of guy. One-third, 34% of college graduates say they accept the biblical account of creation as fact. What the hell are they teaching in college, John?
I don't know.
And then they have some other stats. But the one that I find
it's so culture.
Hard to believe, and I had another epiphany. I have an epiphany a week, John. 9 out of 10 believe in God, and I'm here to say that that's complete bogus. And here is my thesis.
His thesis, God,
for why
working out another thesis.
That is complete bogus.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
And let me ask you this, John. Let's hypothetically say that you believed in God.
Yeah,
hypothetically.
Yeah.
Would you masturbate in front of your mother?
No.
Then why would you masturbate in front of God?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So either men, and I don't know about women, but men either rationalize milky pants in front of the eyes of God is a sin, and maybe that's why they're more attracted to the whole God thing, to cleanse themselves, or they just don't buy it at all. They just don't believe it at all. They just go through the motions of believing in God. Because if you're not going to jerk off in front of your mom, how can you jerk off in front of God? It's like jerking off in front of Santa, John.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do it, right? Right?
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
A few more Knob Creeks and I might do it.
Here, I got a sound clip from Michael Savage. who's a it's a pseudonym for his real name, which is Michael Allen Wiener. He's got a PhD. I don't know in what.
In douchebaggery?
I don't know. But he's written some books. He wrote a book called The Savage Nation. And he does, he's got like a radio show or something.
Can I just say, it's like O'Reilly writes books and he puts his name in the title.
Right.
Or this savage guy puts their name in the title. What kind of, is this overcompensation for like microphallus or what?
He earned a PhD from the University of California, Berkeley in nutritional ethnomedicine.
The fuck is
which
that?
He's wrote a number of books on herbal medicine and homeopathy. Homeopathy. This is what he has to say about why 9/11 happened, and that it was God's bidding against the homosexuals and that such.
So the country's founded on the principles of Christianity. A couple of hundred years later, where are we living? So-called post-Christian times. The churches are emptying out. The bathhouses are filling up. The sex change operations are speeding up. The lesbian fertility clinics are increasing around the country. And the country is on the verge of an insane breakdown. And God, who is the center of this monotheistic religion,
has
said, you don't worship me anymore? Oh, you don't like me anymore? Oh, I don't exist anymore? Really? All right, I'm going to show you boys in Hollywood and you girls in New York City that I do exist. But since you're very hard-headed, stiff-necked people, and you don't really believe that I exist because you've gotten away with everything you've done all your life without any repercussions, I'm going to show you I exist in a way that you can't believe. Down came the World Trade Center towers. That was God speaking.
This guy still has a show?
I don't know. I know.
What a cocksucker.
Tell me that's not a joke.
No, it's not. It's not a joke.
What's ironic about this is churches have to evolve to stay, to survive. They have to evolve to survive.
Yeah.
Yet they reject evolution and they want you to buy into creationism. But we're seeing it today. We're seeing these mega churches that go after the young kids with rock and roll and other things like that. And it's not because the general population is rejecting, well, they are rejecting God. Because, here's what I think, John, because of the internets.
No.
Because you got education right out there. If you want education, you can find it.
I know why it is.
Why?
In our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
That's why.
That could be the reason. But like you had the Gutenberg before with the printing press.
Right.
Now
which was made
internets.
Out of hemp. Did you know it was made out of pot?
I didn't know
the
that.
Gutenberg
the
Gutenberg Bible, the first draft.
Yeah, not the printing press. The printing press wasn't made out of hemp.
No, no. The paper
that they used. Right. Now, then you got the internets. Now, this is all the spread of education, the exchange of ideas. And when you have an exchange of ideas, when you don't have dogma, when you don't have people telling you exactly how it is, and you can't say that, you can't question it, religion is going to go down the tubes because it's based on tradition, it's based on don't ask questions, and you're seeing a society that now has the internets, that now can exchange ideas from Taiwan to Jamaica, from Chicago to Milwaukee, from the UK, John, in Sherwood Forest, to Miami Beach, and you have the exchange of ideas, and I don't think religion is going to survive that. But then again, we just read an article where 9 out of 10 people say they believe in God in America.
Well, you know that anybody,
it dumbfounds me.
Anybody who has an exchange of idea ends up, you know, getting burned on the stake, you know?
Right, right.
Back
not
in the
anymore.
Day, back. I mean,
that's
they,
back in the day.
They just apologized to Galileo, for Christ's sake.
300 years later,
he was right.
Hey, you
right.
know what? You were right about that.
I don't. The Earth isn't flat. Sorry about that. We were wrong.
That wasn't.
Yeah, we make mistakes. How could you make a mistake? You're a father of God. God speaks through you. How could you make a mistake?
Right,
all
John.
I want to know.
Right. Now, Special Ed, you're not a believer in God, are you?
No.
Not at all.
What do you harass them for?
What do you
mean? You're a Bush apologist. How could you not be a lover of the G?
Well, if you're not a believer in God, then what attracts you to the W? What makes you vote for the W?
I just told you. I voted for him once.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Keep, you know.
It was a mistake.
He's learned from the W. You keep catapulting the propaganda, right, and sooner or later people buy it. All right, so you're admitting it was a mistake, but obviously you voted for him. So what was it that appealed to you about the W?
Come on, dude.
Oh, well, I'll let him in. Go ahead, John.
No, I'm going to let you answer, and then I'm going to throw my spin.
No. Who was voting with against him in the first one?
Gore. The Gore.
After going through Gore with, what's that?
Clinton,
thank you. I couldn't handle Gore after that.
Couldn't handle Gore?
I wanted something a little different than
a stiff
than
guy?
Clinton,
it's kind of stiff.
Gore.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gore was just
a little stiff.
He wasn't a very good speaker. Then again, there was Bush.
But yeah, Bush
should be. No, go ahead, because
beginning, Bush sounded very positive and very reassuring that he can run the country. And I could not stand Gore. Gore's views on the environment and everything else, I just could not handle that. And so he was a good option. So I voted for Bush.
The W.
And then, you know, 4 years later, it's like, oh, this guy's a freaking idiot. But then again, you had Gore and, I mean, sorry, Bush and, the name is gave me, Kerry. Kerry is another idiot.
Idiot?
So you had two in a row.
At least he could speak.
I guess he's
he was a good speaker, but he's not a very good president.
You can't say that because he never was.
He never was, but...
You can only judge one president at a time, and they have to be president first before
he
can
actually... This is true, but his credentials before getting there weren't very good.
No, I disagree.
And the W's were?
And I'll tell you why.
The W's were, though. The first time when you looked at W's credentials, you said, there's a guy who can run the country. Here's a guy who's had everything handed to him, failed in business multiple times, traded Sammy Sosa. that's the guy that I want to run the country. That's what you said to yourself?
That's not what I said to myself, though.
Actually, I could see you, if you're a Republican, you're leaning that way. Sure, naturally, you'd go for that. The confirmation bias kicks in.
Well, I've always voted more Republican than
a
Democrat.
So, obviously, you would vote for Bush. But I think Scott and I were both in agreement at the time after September 11th that he fucking A is off. At first, it was like, he's on vacation. This guy doesn't want to be president now. And then he just starts kicking ass. He goes into Afghanistan, and he's going to wipe everybody out, and he's doing all this speaking in front of the firemen. And I'm like, holy fuck, I'm really digging this guy. He's a cowboy.
I agree. That actually fired me up. I was excited about that. I even told Karen, my wife, I was excited about the fact that I'm glad he's not in there and not Kerry.
But
I think Bush could handle it.
No, that was
then
Gore.
It
would have been Gore.
Gore the first time.
Now, and some people say that, and I'm like, well, you can't really judge it that way. There's military advisors that tell him what to do. He's more of a mouthpiece, more of a presenter of what's going on. And what threw me then is when he went into Iraq, and I remember sitting there, the wife and I talking about it, and I was about to go to Germany the 2 nights after they attacked Iraq. And I'm thinking to myself, why is he... Whoa! All right, we're going to have a rave. Hold on, this is a rave
night
here in the chapel of Lutheran General Hospital. All right, let's get down, guys. Oh, my heart.
Well, don't give out your location.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully, you'll be out of the hospital before this is broadcast, because the NSA will come in and
my God.
Make sure you redline.
You think so?
Oh, no doubt.
There we go. We got some more right here. All right. Anyway, so where was I?
Your wife.
Yeah, we're talking about Iraq. And we go over to Germany, and there's all these silent protests going on. They don't really go out and, like, go crazy and protest. It's all quiet. We're in Cologne, and I'm standing in front of this giant kiosk, and it's filled with handwritten notes handwritten notes by people across the whole world that are standing in front of this old cathedral. This cathedral in Cologne that was the only building standing after World War II. And I'm looking at this thing, and it's written in, there's stuff in Chinese, Japanese, Indian, you know, whatever, French. And I noticed a bunch of them written by American majors, generals, that were totally against this war in Iraq. And it just started 3 days before. It started on a Thursday. I flew over there on, I don't know what it was. I can't even remember what it was. But all this stuff was all written out. I was like, holy shit. And we started getting ripped on by like the taxi driver. This taxi driver is driving us to a convention center. And he's just ripping into us about being American and having a Bush for president. And he told us a joke. He says, hey, how do you like this? And his accent wasn't like German. It was like he was like a German Muslim or something. I don't know. How do you like having a country run by a colon, a Bush, and a dick?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
But I was from that moment, that minute on, literally after that trip, I was like, there's something wrong here. We're totally taking our focus off of the real, what we thought was the real issue, the terror in Afghanistan, the breeding ground, Osama bin Laden. Why are we going after Saddam? We know the guy's he's a dictator. He's a bad guy. We know that. We know that the guy from Korea is the same way. We know that there's shit in China not well. We know that that shit goes on in Saudi Arabia and what they do to the women there and how they execute people there. And we know it's really bad in Sudan.
Well, it turns out Saddam was the only one who could keep those people in fucking line.
Right. They're all right. Fucked up now. And you got...
Saddam had oil.
Well, okay. Obviously. But is that what the reason is?
Absolutely.
Then why didn't they just say that? Why not? Why weapons of mass deception?
Excuses.
Propaganda. The PNAC.
Right.
New World Order.
Halliburton Root needs more money.
So right, from that moment on, I was like, "That's it." Because, you know, it's like when you vote for somebody, you want to vote for somebody because they're really charismatic and they're telling you how much they want to change things, and you get excited about them, not about how scared they make you.
Want to take away our civil liberties.
Take out our civil liberties.
Start spying on us, guys.
Right.
Superior.
Yeah, you lick it up.
All right, let's lighten it up.
All right, what do we got now?
We got Shit or Shinola, John.
Let's get ready to play.
Shit or Shinola.
All right.
And if you're a new listener, this is where we pit John against our special guest. In a game of Shit or Shinola, I will say a statement, and you must tell me if it's Shit Shinola. Play along at
shit
home.
Shit meaning it's bullshit,
and
not
see
true.
See how well
Shinola,
you do.
Shinola, it is true. Let's cover the rules, because we've had controversy in the past.
Well, that was with Rick.
Dr. George and Rick. Yeah, Rick's very good at manipulating the rules.
Wait a minute. All right, our first Shit or Shinola question. Listen closely. You ready, Special Ed?
Closely.
I'm ready.
Hank Aaron has the most home runs in professional baseball history. Shit or Shinola?
I don't know who the fuck he is. So
Hank Aaron? You don't know who Hank Aaron is?
Dude, I am the worst. I'm the non-sports fan here.
Then you're at a loss here because Hank Aaron has the most home runs
in professional
baseball
history.
No, that's the I'm repeating the statement. That is the statement. Hank Aaron has the most home runs in professional baseball history.
Shinola.
Special Ed says Shinola. John says?
That's a 50-50.
Shit.
John is up one zip on Special Ed.
Oh, damn.
The bell a little loud.
Sadahara Uu. Legendary slugger from Japan's Tokyo Giants hit 868 career home runs to Aaron's 755. When Uu first joined the Giants in 1959, he struggled badly at the plate. A hitting instructor named Hiroshiya Arakawa, also trained in samurai sword technique, suggested that Uu study the martial art of Aikido. Isn't that what Special Ed studies, Aikido?
That was.
As a result of his training,
Steven Seagal.
Uu developed a one-legged stance technique that Ichiro Suzuki of the Seattle Mariners now successfully employs.
The Mariners.
So John goes up 1-0.
Yeah.
Next shitter Shinola, because that was total shit. In his first North American appearance in 1967, Jimi Hendrix was the opening act for the Monkees. Shit or Shinola?
Ooh.
First North American appearance.
That's the year I was born.
1967.
I say shit.
John says total shit. Special Ed comes in with
Shinola.
Shinola, it's a tie game because it is total Shinola.
Ed, for me?
Mickey Dolenz and Mike Nesmith had been introduced to Hendrix music by the Beatles in London, and they were blown away, John. They brought Hendrix on tour with them, but the Monkees' Teeny Bopper fans were not ready for the Hendrix experience.
Wow.
Finally fed up with the We Want Davy chants, Hendrix abruptly left the tour and went on to his short-lived superstardom. He died of a drug overdose in 1970.
Wow.
Tie game. Next question, shit or shidola. The average age of a French oak tree harvested to make wine barrels is 170 years.
Oh, yeah, that's a shidola.
That is a shinola.
All right.
Shinola.
John goes up two. Oh, it's a tie game.
Tie
right?
game. Wait,
tie
whoa.
Game. 2-2. You are both correct. That is total shinola. Right. This is because older oak tends to be denser, like the W. Dense oak is very good at mellowing and adding flavor to wine as well as imparting color to white wine. There are nearly 400 species of oak tree, but only 20 are used for making wine barrels.
Mitototomy.
What makes a particular oak desirable is the taste the wood imparts to the wine. A connoisseur like myself, John, can taste the difference between wine aged in America versus French oak.
Ah.
Not only do French barrels impart a gentler, mellower flavor, they breathe better than American barrels.
I make fake foreskins.
It's tied up after three questions.
Yeah.
That was in the tour.
Remember the tour with my glasses and fake teeth?
Yeah.
Remember? Question number four. Godfather of Soul. James Brown, God rest his soul, was raised in a brothel and served 3 years hard labor for breaking into a car. Shit or Shinola?
Oh, Shinola.
All right, it is tied 3-3. You are both correct on that. When James Brown was 5, he went to live with his Aunt Honey, who ran a brothel in Augustana, Georgia.
Aunt
at 16,
honey.
And already an accomplished pianist, or do you say pianist, and singer, Brown was busted for breaking into a car and sentenced to 16 years hard labor.
He was pardoned
early for good behavior, joined the Fabulous Flames, and was catapulted to stardom 3 years later upon the 1956 release of his first song, Please, Please, Please. All right, it's tied up 3-3. We've never had this going into the final question. And the final question is?
Final question.
The best-selling toy of 1965, the Super Ball.
What year?
Or do you say
1965.
Was made of a material used unsuccessfully in an oil well safety valve. Shit or Shinola?
Oh, Shinola. All the way.
Oh, these questions must be too easy. Oh. That is total Shinola. It is a tie game. We're going to have to go into sudden death.
All
is
right.
Is that the first time?
Norman Stingley, a chemist for the rubber company that made blow out preventers for oil wells, discovered a material and process that was unsuitable for the industry but made great high bouncing balls.
Nice.
Or do you prefer to say bits? Let me reach into my sudden death shitter shinola bag.
Is that the first time?
Fuck you.
I think this may be the first time.
First time tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. Munchausen syndrome is a disease of commoners who believe they are of royal lineage. Shitter shinola.
Shinola.
Say it again.
Munchausen syndrome is a disease of commoners who believe they are of royal lineage.
Shit
or shinola.
Shit. I say total shit.
John says shit. Ed says.
I said shit the third time around.
You said shinola the first time,
did
but
I
you're
say
going
shinola?
With shit.
Yeah, he drunk bastard.
Shit. That is total shit. A rare syndrome describes people who wander from hospital to hospital feigning severe diseases that require dramatic emergency care.
Wow.
How you doing at home? All right, next question.
You doing it all?
We're doing a double tiebreaker?
Double sudden death tiebreaker.
Double sudden death.
The Mojave is the largest desert in North America. Shit or shinola, the Mojave.
It's total
shit.
All right, that is total
shit. Antarctica.
You're one.
Not even close. Yes. The Mojave in California, Arizona, and Nevada is merely 25,000 square miles.
Wait a minute, your wife.
The Chichahuna Desert, reaching from northern Mexico to Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, covers 175,000 square miles.
Wait a minute.
Mentioned something about Antarctic in the last.
Yeah, we did a shit or shinola with your lovely wife.
And she said Antarctic was the
largest. Antarctic is another continent, okay?
It's a desert.
Can we just
stop?
Yeah, but it's another continent.
Doesn't matter.
The question was largest desert in North America.
We still got it.
Yes, stupid asses.
Oops.
You stupid asses.
Sudden death. Shit or shinola. During World War II, citizens in Norway were arrested for wearing paper clips on their lapels. Shit or shinola.
Shit.
Oh, shinola.
John wins this round of shit or shinola. In 1899, John Waller of Norway patented a simple device for twisted wire for fastening paper together, the paper clip. He did nothing with the patent. By the 40s, the Gem Company of England was selling millions of paper clips based on the W design. Still, Norwegians proudly embraced their countryman. Whaler is the true inventor, so much so that when the Nazis occupied Norway during World War II and prohibited Norwegians from wearing buttons wearing the king's initials, citizens expressed opposition to the occupation by wearing paper clips on their lapels. It was an act punishable by arrest.
So, but special ed doesn't go away empty-handed.
He does not go away empty-handed.
He gets either a three-tet salute or one mito tatami.
Which one does he want?
Which
we'll
one
leave it
want?
Up to special ed.
Or the bladder bag.
You got to drink that, though. You
hey,
know
it's sterile.
What? Three tets?
A tetomotomy.
A tetomotomy?
Mito tot to me.
So he wanted a combo.
A combo.
He gets the combo. He gets the
mito tot to me. All right, now that I have another quiz for you. This is an audio quiz.
Audio quiz.
Now, Special Ed, what we found out when he first showed up tonight is he hasn't listened since what, episode 30?
It's the 60. PC audio quiz.
Special Ed has probably been on more episodes than he's listened to.
Right.
But no we're going to have Scott. A special audio quiz. I found this webcast this week online.
Special Ed audio quiz.
And I brought in three clips. Actually, the first one is a quiz. The second one and the third one are just egregious examples of something that absolutely I despise in broadcasting. But go ahead and play the first quiz, and I will tell you the name of the podcast. Is the Smodcast. Have you heard of it, John?
No.
The Smodcast. The Smodcast?
Smodcast.
All right. The first one to tell me who is on the Smodcast, one of the two co-hosts of the Smodcast, wins the quiz. Go ahead and play the clip. This is the opening of the Smodcast.
I know you want to do it. You know I want to do it, too. Out here on the dance floor.
It's out of sight.
We can make
no
sandwiches.
Doubt.
Sandwiches?
Welcome to Smodcast. I've I got a little dramatic with that.
I was a little like,
because I'm always like, welcome to Smodcast. But this time I did. I was a little bit Paul Frees in the Haunted Mansion.
It was.
I know who it is.
Who is it, man?
What's the
Kevin Smith.
That's right. Kevin Smith. You know who Kevin Smith is, Special Ed?
I have no idea.
Dialogue very much.
What?
Have you ever seen also,
Clerks?
No.
Voice on
Chasing Amy?
Many voices.
No.
Paul Frees was, as well as the voice
okay.
of the Mansion Ride.
You've never seen one of the best movies ever?
Way Dead.
Okay.
You ever seen Clerks?
No.
What's another one?
Never heard of it.
Clerks 2.
Clerks 2.
Chasing Amy. Dogma.
Dogma, yeah.
Dogma I've heard of.
Oh, dude. We got to educate you, my friend.
Dude, man. So, all right. So Kevin Smith has a podcast. He has 7 episodes. I took this from his 7th episode. It's about an hour long. I'm not sure how long they do it. I forgot to bring my documentation in. But he's got a partner, and his partner's name is Scott. It could be Morley. I'm not sure. It's Scott something. It starts with an M. Could be Morley.
No, it's his producer buddy.
Right. In the 7th episode, they did tell a lot of stories about pre and post Clerks right around the filming and the wrapping up of that production.
Yeah.
But this podcast is almost unlistenable. If I wasn't a fan of Kevin Smith, and I'm a fan of Kevin Smith not only for Clerks, but because Ben Affleck fruit basketed him. I don't know if I could listen to this podcast.
It's Scott Mosier.
Mosier.
Yeah.
Scott Mosier. Now, the one drawback is his co-host, the Scott guy. And I want you to play clip number 2, John. And
clip
this
2.
Is an example of what I cannot stand in broadcasting. And you tell me
here,
what it
I
is.
I was 20. It was right before I went back up. It was right before I went to Canada. So I guess I was 20.
Mm.
And I think she was 18 or 19. I mean, it was literally like 2 years difference. And right. I found that cultural gap to be just sort of like, because she liked New Kids on the Block. And I was like,
you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, I couldn't take it. I remember there was like, that was like one of those relationships where like, it was very short-lived, and it was all sort of like...
Too many likes.
It's amazing how much like our sort of attitude
towards
pop culture sort of affected the overall thing. And like she liked New Kids on the Block, which drove me absolutely batshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching... what was I watching? I think I was watching Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
And she said... She goes, why do you watch that shit? You're smarter than that. And I was just like...
No.
And I was like... And you know, in my mind, you're thinking like, well,
you're like, you're the dumbest person yes. I've ever met, you fucking whore.
Yeah. I was like, that was a real nail. That was the nail for me, where I was just
they
like...
They sped up their voices.
Not to say that, like, the expectation is that she has to love it, you know? I don't necessarily want the girlfriend or whatever that was like... You know, came fucking running in singing Monty Python songs.
Where
shit.
She was like, I am the knight who says yeah. me. And you're like, hey, what's up?
Did you speed this up,
once,
dude?
I'm not.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Life of Brian or something.
It's sort of more like, even just to be
he's
like.
He's nodding his head. It's
even if
dark
she was just kind
here.
Of didn't say anything,
right.
It would have kept going. But the idea that like.
Like you were dating a mute teenager.
Yeah, exactly. But mostly it was
like Marley Maitland and Children of Light.
Exactly.
I forgot to mention that. This was a 2-minute clip that I speeded up into a minute.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think I've heard more likes in a minute in my entire
oh my
life.
God.
And here's an example. This next clip.
It's like the most likes.
This next clip, I think it was 10, maybe 15 seconds that I speeded up. But try to count how many likes.
All right. Ready?
There are.
Yeah,
go
that's
ahead.
Part of the quiz. How many likes?
But the killer thing to me was that like from my point of view, it's just like. You know, the statement of it, like, being so stupid is just like, you're watching it going, like, these guys are fucking the exact opposite of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was...
5 likes.
That was 5 likes in 10 seconds. That's 1 like
wow.
every 2 seconds.
Wow!
That has to be a broadcasting record.
Oh.
And that's a pet peeve. It drives me fucking
insane. I know, that's
insane.
Like fucking like crazy.
No doubt.
Like, what's your problem?
Yeah, no doubt. That's like fucked up.
That's like
now
totally
I'm gonna say like all the
up.
Time. I gotta tell you something. My wife rips on my daughter when she says like. We'll be sitting at the dinner table and she'll be telling a story and she'll say, well, like there was this like boy like at school like and like he like totally like was like and she stops her right there, Shannon. Stop saying like, or I'm going to rip your throat out. Okay, mom.
I only had to tell my daughter that once. And she's seemed to have dropped that habit.
She's terrified. All right, well, we got to take it to part three.
Part three, John.
And
let's get that.
Check back in the room real quick. And
that's one thing that Special Ed and I forgot to bring down to the chapel is the time machine. So we got to run back and get that.
Because
we're going to be taking the time machine back to the W's speech at the journalists.
Right.
Whatever that fuck that thing was.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for
part three. Part three.
Just one last quick way.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.